Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:13 on this Friday morning, I have a panoply of things to talk to Rafael Goyeneche about, so let's get to him. Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. How are you?
I'm fine, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Let's start with John Kennedy, Senate floor. Senator John Kennedy talking about the NOPD has tried everything except stop and frisk. And I guess that goes, the consent decree, does it or not? Is he right? Has the NOPD stopped stopping and frisking, or the stops down? Tell me what the truth is here, Rafael.
Okay. Well, I mean, the truth as I see it is I think the police department never has backed down from using that tool. Mm-hmm. And the example that I give is what they're doing and what they have done during Mardi Gras and some of the other events with the gun enforcement. Mm. So that's an example of the police department using that tool and going out, being proactive, identifying people that the officers observe carrying concealed weapons on their persons, making those arrests. We're starting to see more drug enforcement. We're starting to see more traffic enforcement. Why is that important? Well, I'm not advocating, nor is the police department attempting to write tickets all over the place, but crime is concentrated in certain neighborhoods. And if the police department can use traffic, see someone violating a traffic rule, they pull them over, they may find that there's a warrant for that person's arrest. They may find that the individual has a weapon or the car is stolen. And so that type of proactive policing is predicated on what Senator Kennedy's talking about, and the police department is, in fact, using those tools.
The only reason I would think there are less stops, or I would ask this question, is because there are less officers?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Of course. What I'm talking about, police have to make a strategic decision to do this. Because we're down 300 police officers, they can't do this every day, all day, because much of the time, the police department, because of their manpower, have to respond to calls for service. So as they're responding to calls for service, they can't do some of these other more proactive things if they're trying to get to a code 2 emergency call.
I'm looking at the MCC dashboard here. Homicide down 6%, shooting down 9%, carjacking down 47%, armed robbery down 13%. Is this too early to say that this is a trend, or is this a direct result of some of the things that Michelle Woodfork's doing with NOPD?
Well, it's a trend. Now, let me put this a little bit in perspective. So homicides are down over the last 2 weeks because during that same period of time, a year ago, there were 21 homicides, as opposed to 9 during this 2 weeks period. So when you're talking about low numbers in the category of homicides, and really that is sort of the gold medal standard that most people want to know, what's our homicide rate? Mm-hmm. But in reality, those are the fewest numbers of crimes that any community has, including the police department. So a bad week or a good week can make a difference between an uptick or a downtick in that category. But when you look at the armed robbery, when you look at the carjackings, that is, I think, a trend that we're seeing right now. And I give the police department credit because they're doing some things. People that are committing those robberies and those carjackings, it's not one offender per offense. You have a one offender or a group of offenders that are responsible for multiple incidents involving robberies and carjackings. So if they're going down, what that suggests to me is that the police department has identified who those perpetrators are, and they're going out and arresting them.
So they're accomplishing more with the same resources or less because we've not done anything with attrition or retention, correct?
Well, right. I mean, attrition has slowed down, but what we don't know is it slowing down because officers are waiting for their promised retention bonus. And the real tale of how effective that retention bonus will be is after those officers receive it. So I don't know when that's going to happen. It should be in the next month or two, but once that comes, it'll be real interesting to see what the attrition rate becomes. And as far as recruitment goes, we're seeing, one academy class graduate today, and the police department has announced their intentions to start another academy class in April. Now, if we're lucky, we might be able to run 100 to 120 officers through the academy. But keep in mind that what we've been doing is we've been losing 120-plus officers a year. So if all we do is break even, then we're still at a, 100-year staffing low in the New Orleans Police Department. So that's a problem. It can continue to be a problem.
Walk me through this thing with the consent decree and the meetings. And I heard Newell interview Michelle Woodfork, and she said it was eating up a lot of the resources that that the NOPD had to get ready for these meetings. And I'm paraphrasing this here.
Right.
Is this a story? Is it a non-story? Tell me what's going on.
Okay. So the police department is 10 years into a consent decree. The consent decree is basically an agreement between the city of New Orleans, the Department of Justice, that the police department agreed and the city of New Orleans agreed that this contract would be executed and that the city and the Department of Justice would have the ability to agree that all of the terms, and there's over 400, almost 500 paragraphs in this consent decree that have to be accomplished. And there's a couple of categories that the department is still wanting in right now. I believe that if the manpower of the police department wasn't allowed to bottom out and crater out, we would have been in compliance in 2021. But as the numbers of officers went down, the ability to document and complete the final terms of the consent decree forced, I think, the police department to delay their ability to comply with the consent decree. So what happened this week is that the mayor and the police superintendent said there was supposed to be a public hearing announcing to the public where we stand. We're not going to attend it because crime is so high. It takes a lot of resources away from the police department to go to those public hearings. And we're not going to go. So the mayor and the police chief essentially said that they weren't going to participate the day before the meeting was scheduled to happen. So the federal judge sent a message via a court order indicating that she didn't agree with the city, but if they weren't going to be there, she was going to schedule a court public hearing in the near future and was going to subpoena everybody, and everyone's going to come into court. There will be a public hearing. So by canceling the public meeting that was supposed to have occurred at Loyola, now the city's going to have to go into court at some point in time. There'll be attorneys, more time, more money, more delays. So I think this was an ill-conceived message that the objective of the police department and the city needs to be, we need to push the ball across the goal. we have to get in compliance. Not liking it, complaining about the consent decree, doesn't mean that it's going to go away. You've entered into an agreement. It's enforced by the court. And the only path to get out of this is by complying with the terms and meeting all of the terms of the contract that the city agreed to meet.
If they would have gamed this out, I don't understand how they think they come out winning this against a judge.
I don't either. Okay. Because they won't. And the judge made that clear right away.
It puzzles me. Raphael, let me take a quick break. We'll come back, talk about the sheriff's office. All right, Raphael Goyeneche, our guest president, Metropolitan Crime Commission, 722. Traffic now, WWL. 727, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Raphael Goyeneche, president, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Raphael, we only have about 3 minutes left, so I'm going to turn it over to you to explain what the hell's going on with the Orleans Parish Sheriff, the OIG's office, et cetera.
I'm going to need another segment. No. The reality is, I mean, what we're seeing happen is you're only as good as the people that work for an organization. Mm-hmm. So when the sheriff was elected to that post, she had no experience in corrections or really law enforcement. And she surrounded herself with people that had no experience. And to make a bad situation worse, many of the people that were put in positions of power not only had no experience in corrections or law enforcement, but they had been fired from their previous jobs. So when you put that perfect storm together, what you saw happen a week ago today after Mardi Gras, where the sheriff decided to use public funds to pay for hotel lodging in the heart of the French Quarter for her command staff. Initially, she said she's only doing what the police department does for its supervisors. That's untrue. It never happened. And then she said, well, it was an appropriate use of funds because her supervisors work long hours and she didn't want them to have a travel home at night. But she rented rooms for 8 days. There weren't 8 days where parades were being conducted. It was basically a taxpayer-paid vacation for some of her higher staff, many of which, as I pointed out, had been let go from their previous jobs for not doing the job well or for misconduct. So what ended up happening is she defended the use of the $19,000 to buy those hotel rooms for lodging her senior staff. And later that same day, she announced that a canine training company out of Vermilion Parish reached out to her and unilaterally offered to make a $19,000 donation to cover the cost of that. Problem solved. Well, no, the problem isn't solved. And the matter is bubbling up because two of the people that were let go last Friday, her general counsel and chief financial officer, expressed in writing and emails to the sheriff that they shouldn't use public funds for those hotel rooms. And both of those people were let go last Friday. So we're going to be probably seeing some whistleblower claims and possible litigation over these terminations. And I think we're going to find out a lot more of what's been going on in the sheriff's office over the first year of Susan Hudson's tenure there with some of the litigation that will probably ensue from this.
Thank you, Raphael. You're right. You do need another segment, but we'll talk to you again soon, Raphael.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.